Let us seek God's face together. Most holy and glorious and beautiful triune Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Creator of the ends of the earth, the one and only true and living God, from everlasting to everlasting, the God who has made covenant with thy people, the God who has not only created us but redeemed thy people in and through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give thee thanks that thou hast not left us as orphans on this earth, in this waste, howling wilderness, but thou hast given us a refreshing rain in and through Spirit-breathed scriptures. And grant, O Lord, as we open thy word this morning hour, that thou wilt send thy Spirit into our hearts, the one who speaks, the ones who listen. May thy name be glorified. And grant, O Lord, that we, as a covenant community, might delight in thy word, and that we might teach thy word to our children. Be pleased to wash us from all of our sins, and grant us attentive hearts to the reading and the hearing of thy holy word. For we do ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the second giving of the law. We'll read just the first 9 verses. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let us hear the very word of our God. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Thus far. Several months ago, basically in November, last November, we considered covenantal family blessedness together, taken out of Psalm 127, verse 5, that unless the Lord build a house, they that labor in vain. And we looked at that blessed is a man that has his quiver full of them. And we saw, in the first place, a covenantal establishment. Now, what does that mean? We think about covenant, and forgive me if I use that name a lot this afternoon or morning, because covenant Well, the whole scripture is covenant, isn't it? It's the book of the covenant. It's the law of the covenant. And the covenant is election and predestination as a golden chain throughout scripture. Without the covenant, without election and predestination, there is no salvation. That comes from Jehovah's eternal decree to predestinate a people to establish a church, the bride of Christ. And in that covenant we saw that there's a house. Unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. And confronting today's society, there's a lot of people talk about family. They talk about home. There is no home, there is no family, unless it's in covenant with God. A husband and wife with their children together. And therefore it is vain. It is vain for the world, it is vain for unconverted people thinking that they have a home unless they are in Christ. As we heard this morning, if we're outside of Christ, we're an enemy of God. And we saw that there is covenantal blessedness as well. Based upon God's promises, that He comes to His people covenantally in promises. He promises that He is our God. And all of this is wrapped up in agape love. We talked about that in November. What is really agape love? Well, Calvin puts it this way. It's an earnest and anxious desire for and an active interest in the well-being of the one loved. Let that sink into your souls. That God comes to His people in that kind of love. He has an earnest and anxious desire for you, child of God. And He has an active interest in your well-being. He has an active interest, as we heard this morning, when trials come our way, when temptations. But I want to look at this morning our covenantal family education. We looked at covenantal blessedness before. Covenantal underlying family education. There's a divine mandate, isn't there? We read that already in our chapter. But we think about how the law of the covenant comes to us in Exodus chapter 2, or 20, verse 2. God says, I am Jehovah thy God. In other words, He comes and He says, I am thy God. I'm the God that has created thee. And the Lord reminds Israel that He has a claim on them. He comes to Israel as a covenant people, and He says He has a claim upon them because, well, He created them and He delivered them out of the house of bondage. He comes to them as a covenant community. And Calvin puts it this way. He says, Jehovah comes forth before them in His dignity to devote the people to Himself, to claim the authority He deserves. As we hear the law read, as we hear the gospel come to us, we realize that God is coming to us. He's claiming His authority over us. He has a right to rule us. But Calvin goes on, he says, whereby He prepares their minds for obedience. And surely it was necessary that, first of all, the right of the legislator should be established, lest what He chose to command should be despised or contemptuously received. And so God comes to our minds and our hearts to establish His law that we be ready to receive it. And we do that as well, don't we, with our children. God says, I am Jehovah thy God. And when we really want to get through to our children, your fathers have said it, I'm your father. Listen to me. We plead with them. I'm the one that has given you life. Your mother and myself. We're your parents. We have authority. And we use that to plead with our children. And God uses that to plead with us, so to speak. And then God goes on, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And we think about our bondage to the evil one. And God comes to us in Jesus Christ, and he delivers us through what Christ has done. But Israel's deliverance was not just freedom, was it? And we think of, well, slavery in our nation's past, and it has a nasty connotation to it, doesn't it? Slavery is great wickedness, to enslave a man or a woman's body. What about spiritual slavery? To be bound hand and foot with chains and manacles by the evil one that we heard this morning. But it's not just to set us free. God has one explicit purpose in creation and redemption. It's the glory and honor of his name. And so God told Moses, and Moses told Pharaoh, let my people go that they might go out in the wilderness and do what? To worship me. And thus we hear in our text, taken from Deuteronomy 6, we find the Shema that God gave to Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, or Jehovah our God is one Jehovah. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And he says these words of the law of the covenant, these words which I command thee shall be in thine heart. And so God comes to Israel, not as individual people as such. He comes to the entire nation as one covenant community, all 12 tribes. And he says, I am the Lord thy God. The Lord is one. But then he goes on with this mandate, and thou shalt teach them, thou shalt teach the law, thou shalt teach the law and gospel diligently to thy children. What does diligently mean? Well, it means with all care. It means speedily. We could say at the very earliest age, our little ones are able to understand we are to take great care with them, and we are to teach them speedily. It also includes watchfulness. Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. It means with haste, exacting. It means with great precision. We think about in school and universities, and you mention absolute truth. And most people say, well, there is no absolute truth today. And yet when we have a math book, whether it's calculus or algebra or geometry, it is absolute truth, isn't it? There is no way we can deviate from the truth that's in math. And we're to look at the Bible that way as absolute truth. And we're to teach the Bible, we're to teach the Word of God diligently and exactly to our children. And when are we to do this? Well, the Lord says, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, it's not just on Sunday, is it? It's in the home. And we have devotions in the morning. We have devotions maybe at noon. We have devotions in the evening. And we talk about these things. It is the focus of the family. You know, I'm not talking about an evangelical man, but the focus of our family is to be God and his covenant. That's the reason our family exists. It should be the main focus. Should be. It not always is, is it? Because we have so many things crowding into our minds. We have so many things to do. Whether it's men working for the family or moms taking care of the home, there are a multitude of things that demand our attention. Yet our focus is to be upon Jehovah and his covenant with us. But not just verbal knowledge, is it? It's how we treat one another. In other words, if you fathers want to convey the love of Christ to your children, they ought to see that in how you treat your own wife. And we think about our forefathers as well, how they dealt with this. The church was a pivot point upon which the whole family, the whole community revolved. And we live in a very different age today. But church, God's house of prayer, God's honor and glory, was a pivot. It was the axle upon which the wheel turned. In our society, commitment to a local church, I'm not talking about us, but in our society, in the church world, commitment to a local church is certainly at an all-time low. There's great lack of commitment. And so we are called to give our diligence to maintaining a local church, to maintain covenant biblical worship and education. What do I mean by that education? Our forefathers have given us a great tool, have they not? Our three forms of unity. And sometimes we can say, well, it's man-made. And it is. And you look at our catechism, and you look at all the proof texts that are in there, and it is dripping with Scripture. And we have catechism instruction and catechism preaching. Oh, we ought to love it. One of the favorite types of preaching that I really enjoy doing is going through the Lord's days. We've been doing that at New Hope. One Q&A at a time. And there was so much in there. It's like taking a congregation to seminary, is it not? One of my favorite courses in seminary is Reformed Dogmatics, systematic theology, dealing with theology proper, anthropology, soteriology, Christology, ecclesiology, and eschatology. It tells us about the things that we find in the Bible. So let us never put catechism preaching aside. We need it all the days of our life. But secondly, we have a lifelong responsibility. When God gives us a mandate, when you command your children to do something, you expect them to respond, and God expects us to respond. It's like what we find in Genesis chapter 18, when the Lord came to Abraham before he destroyed Sodom. And God makes this statement about Abraham. He says in Genesis 18:19, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after them, and that they shall keep the way of the Lord. Don't you groan? Don't you groan within you that God would say that of you? I know him. I know her, that they will command their household in the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And so we have God's covenant promises. And no, they're not conditional upon our obedience, but covenantal blessings come from our obedience. Thus we have the family home, a biblical covenant home. It is so different than what the world has today, don't we? We have a man and his wife, and they are equals. And yet God has placed authority in the man. He's the head of the household, a covenant head of a household. And men, you are prophet, priest, and king. You have a threefold office as Christ has. And as prophet, you are to teach your children. You would teach them law and gospel, but not just by words, by actions, and by priests. Well, of course, we pray for our children, don't we? Our children are covenant children. They're set apart by God. And yet we pray for their salvation. They must be born again. They must be converted. And then we are a king as well. We're to rule them under Christ. I don't have to tell you these things, but may I remind you, husbands, you represent Christ to your wife and especially to your children. What does that mean then? Well, certainly we're not a dictator. That's what Islam is. An Islamic man, he makes sure his wife and children knows that he is the dictator. It's going to be his way or else. And we are by our actions to make our wife and children know that we are under Christ, that Christ is ruling our families in and through us. But it also means that we don't have soft commandments, that we're not soft and easygoing, but we make it very plain and clear to our children out of this agape love that I have an earnest and anxious desire for them and an active interest in their well-being, that this is a family rules. This is how this family will operate. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve Jehovah. In other words, we don't make suggestions to our children. We don't, as a friend of mine once said when I urged him to have family worship, he said, well, I'll have to call a meeting of my family and see if they agree with that. And I was shocked with this. He was a man that read the Bible, he read Calvin, and he was going to ask his children whether or not they wanted family worship. No, as God says about Abraham, he is to command his house. And so this teaching is not just reading the Bible together, is it? This covenantal teaching is not just sending them to catechism classes, but it's our responsibility to instruct our children in all the ways of the Lord in the home. And as Israel was a covenant community, we must look at the church that God has placed us in as a covenant community. We do things together. We think about our own nation, and there is much individualism in our land, isn't there? Everybody is the captain of their own ship. They live as an island. And that can infiltrate into the church. We can think that we are individuals or our family is an individual. And well, I was thinking about this, putting this together, and if someone would cut their thumb off or a finger with a saw. We had a deacon that did that. That finger is no longer part of his body, is it? That finger has been severed. And we can do that. We can think that our family is a little nucleus all by itself, or that I'm all by myself. But no, we are a covenant community. We're in this together. And to be reformed then is to understand God's covenant. Why do we baptize infant children? Would you have a good answer for a Baptist? Why do we baptize children? We must understand the covenant because God says, I will be a God to you and to your seed after you. And we think about our children. And we think about a proper name to give them, don't we? Sometimes that can be hard. But the last name, well, that's automatic, isn't it? They automatically receive our last name, and so they are part of our family. And we can think, well, they're my children. And we think about Lord's Day 1. What is thy only comfort in life and death? I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And our children, oh, we know this, don't we? But does it sink down into our hearts? They are given to us on loan by God. They are not yours. And yet they are ours as a church. All the children belong to the church. Calvin says, if you would have God to be your father, you must have the church to be your mother. And the mother, the church, brings forth the children. And what are we to do? We to teach our little ones exactly who God is from Genesis to Revelation. We're to teach them by word. We're to teach them by action. That they might be anxious to know the same God we serve. Not that we cram it down their throats, but we ought to make them have a holy jealousy that they can see something in us that they would desire to know this God. And so then may I make a bold statement. Nothing else matters in our children's lives if we fail in this text. If we fail to convey to our children who God is and Jesus Christ, they can be doctors, they can be lawyers, they can have the greatest education, but at the end of the day, if they go lost, nothing else matters, does it? It is that crucial. I'm going to be bolder yet. I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. Christian school is not an option for people that lay claim to God's covenant, or I should say that respond to God's covenant. Plymouth Christian School ought to be first and foremost in our hearts. It's not an option. It's something our forefathers has given us because they looked at the scriptures. They passed the baton onto us. And we as a church, we ought to, we must carry that banner high. You remember the baptismal form? And sometimes we forget, as a church, this sacrament is not just for the families, is it? It's for the entire congregation. We hear an exhortation to the parents. Yes, we hear an exhortation from the pastor to the entire church. Do you acknowledge that these children are conceived and born in sin? Do you acknowledge the doctrine both of the Old Testament and New Testament? And then we come to that one that, well, we stumble at times, don't we? And do you promise to instruct this child in the aforesaid doctrine and cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power or ability? And we hear the parents say yes. And we ought to say yes in our hearts as well as a church. And we ought to tremble as parents doing that. Who of us, looking back, can say, well, I've fulfilled that vow? But baptism is not what we're going to do. In baptism, God comes to us and He says, I am Jehovah thy God. And therefore, even though your children are conceived and born in sin, I come showing you the water of baptism. And the whole church responds. That's why the whole church, we have catechism instruction, not just Sunday school, but we teach them in the aforesaid doctrine. But that's on Sunday. During the week, we have a Christian school, a God-ordained Christian school. And how much better can it be when the whole church stands behind our Plymouth Christian school? And maybe sometimes we struggle with that. You realize what what this church is like, how committed this church is to what we just read. There's a lot of people today that send their children to Christian school and they wonder where the tuition is going to come from. And they struggle whether or not we have money for it. You realize, young parents, you don't have that problem. The whole church says, we wrap our arms around you. We stand with you in Christian education. And then later on, when the children graduate, we can wrap our arms around the younger families as well with our prayers and our financial support and encouragement. And thus, Plymouth Christian School, it ought to be of the utmost importance to us. And I'm not here from the school board to encourage you and give you a pep talk on Christian school. But covenant education, when we look at this, it really struck me. God is not speaking to individual people here, per se. He's speaking to the entire nation of Israel. And God speaks to us as a covenant community. And thou shalt teach them the way of the Lord. Now, I hope I didn't preach to you too much. But this is what a covenant family is all about, isn't it? Covenantal blessings. And that we are to teach our children. Might we find the grace from God and much of the Holy Ghost to fulfill this covenantal responsibility. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now we give thee thanks for covenant education and that I was given to our forefathers that commitment, that devotion to maintain a Christian school. And grant, O Lord, that we as a church would be busy daily in prayer, in volunteering, in finances. Might we together train up our little ones in the way that they should go. Lord, forgive us of anything that might have been said amiss. Wash us in the blood of Christ. And hear this, our prayer. For we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.